Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. Joe Biden's catastrophic debate performance and the attempted assassination of Donald Trump has shattered many narratives about American politics. Biden isn't as sharp as attack, and Trump isn't an existential threat. Officially sanctioned narratives have collapsed. Crosstalking narratives, I'm joined by my guest, Ray McGovern in Raleigh. He is a former CIA analyst. In Pittsburgh, we have Dan Kovalik. He is a professor of law and author of The Case for Palestine, Why It Matters and Why You Should Care. And in New York, we crossed the Lionel. He is a legal and media analyst. All right, gentlemen, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. I'd like to ask all three of you essentially the same question. I'll start out with Ray. The establishment, more broadly, more specifically, the liberal ecosphere, they have all forfeited the right to be believed.
Correct. You know, when people tell the truth, they are immediately branded, you know what, conspiracy theorists. Now, I welcome being called that because it turns out that the conspiracies that I pointed out on weapons of mass destruction, on hacking of the DNC, on Hunter Biden's laptop, on Seth Rich, they've all turned out to be not conspiracy theories, but really interesting puzzles and probably true, the views of
Ray, would you throw in the attempted assassination attempt, considering what we know at the moment?
Well, Peter, one always has to look for motive.
Yes.
You know, look at these folks that disabled Trump the first time. They made it possible for him to do the things he said he wanted to do with respect to Russia and other places. They not only have that on the record, but they have all kinds of other things which they felt empowered to do. As Comey said, the head of the FBI at the time, I was working in an environment where we were sure that Hillary Clinton was going to win. Ha ha. So you do extra legal things. Well, you know, it doesn't really matter because you're going to get praised for that. You're going to get promoted. You're not going to get indicted. Now, if Trump wins, you know, he's got the goods on these guys. So incentive, motive, opportunity, my God, just a couple days before the RNC, before the convention, you know, the time was running out. It seems to me that if you need to look at motive, which you should, then you see that they're very real people and very in danger of losing their freedom if Trump becomes elected.
Yeah, because the same question to you, Dan, and I could throw in, again, looking at the assassination attempt, negligence or malice or malicious negligence?
Yeah, well, certainly at least negligence. Look, what's been coming out is that they knew that this guy was posing a threat at least, 20 minutes before he started shooting, and they knew he was there, and he was there with the scope, right, that could tell how far, you know, that could read how far away he was from Donald Trump. They knew that for at least an hour. People were pointing to the roof, saying there's a shooter up there. Long and short of it is, minimally, this is the greatest, you know, act of negligence that we've seen on the part of the Secret Service since the Kennedy assassination.
But Dan, are you being generous here?
Well, I am in a certain way. I mean, look,
I don't have any theory, okay, at all. It's just that one of the things that I find really remarkable about this is that nobody needs to explain what I saw. Okay, I don't need filters anymore. Okay, they filtered, you know, Biden's health condition from us. Okay, Donald Trump was the next Hitler. Then you turn around and say, "I hope you get better." Who wants Hitler to get better? I mean, none of these people make any sense. None of these scenarios make sense. I'm sorry to interrupt. Keep going, Dan.
No, I mean you're right. I mean, look, we have to ask questions. And the problem is when the questions are asked, the Secret Service director answers, gives responses that just raise more questions. The idea they didn't have a gunman on the roof because it was too sloped? When this 20-year-old untrained guy gets up there and is able to fire shots off it, pretty good ones too, and he's even killed and he doesn't fall off the roof, one's got to ask, what's going through the minds of the Secret Service that they did not have that roof covered?
Well, and again, but you know, Dan, but you know why they didn't have it covered? Well, maybe they were covered, Lionel, because CNN started saying there was a shooting incident. Shots were fired. Again, this passive voice they always use. There's no predicate, okay? You know, why should we believe these people? They have forfeited that right. Lionel.
First of all, I've got to double down on my Anzialytics because I can't believe what I'm seeing. This is the most exciting thing. First of all, very quickly, as Gore Vidal said, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a conspiracy analyst. And number two, speaking of which, isn't it funny how all of these people who all of a sudden called me a conspiracy theorist, parentheses, the truth, now I heard something, and I don't want to mention by name, but her initials are Joy Reid on MSDNC, who said, and I quote, listen to this one, who said, you know what's interesting? How can we compare an 81-year-old man who contracts COVID, maybe the CPR test, anyway, but who has COVID, with somebody who miraculously had 9 minutes to, I guess, forge or create some photo op? And I'm thinking, you know, that's good. And also they said, I think maybe the ear might have been a teleprompter that smashed, or maybe, and I'm thinking, you're calling me a conspiracy theory? At least mine are somewhat plausible. This is just psychotic. I mean, give me
well,
a
Well, I mean, Lionel, I mean, the absurdity of it is, let me throw it back to Ray, the absurdity of that is that people actually died during the event. So, I mean, yes. If you want to say, you know, it was a cut that he got shaving, but there are dead bodies. I mean, these people, they think we're fools? Ray.
Yeah. Sometimes I can answer very briefly. Yes, they take us for fools because they have most of the media repeating whatever needs to be said initially and finally. How long did it take WMD to be revealed? Well, we said it 2 months before. It was revealed 6 years after when they couldn't find not one weapon of mass destruction. How about Russian hacking of the DNC? That was the FBI looking into that. It was revealed on December 5 in formal congressional testimony. December 5, 2010. 17, and most Americans don't know one word about that. There was no hacking of the DNC, not by the Russians, not by anybody else. So all these things take a little bit of time to flesh out. Unfortunately, we only have a couple of months. Now, with Biden saying on Wednesday that, you know, only a sickness, an illness could make him rethink, and then on Thursday saying, oh, I got COVID. Yeah. I can't really walk real well, even worse than before. You know, you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to think, well, maybe he got the word on Wednesday, that maybe somebody was breathing near Biden who had the virus. You know, and Biden typically had no mask on, for God's sake. So what about all the other people on that plane? You know, they got to get tested right away because they probably contracted it. It's really bizarre. I've not seen the like of it, and I've been around quite a while.
You know, Dan, you know, the Lionel and I had a bit of a heated discussion on X Spaces yesterday about, you know, how this is going to sit with people and how what kind of shelf life it has. The retort, well, mistakes were made. That's not going to hold water. It's not going to hold water this time. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, how can it? I mean, they had one job. You know, the line, you had one job to do, right? You had one job, and they blew it. Heads have to roll. I mean, the head of the Secret Service will have to resign or be fired. This was an incredible, again, minimally, an incredible lapse in doing their job, to the point that, again, it raises the question, was their intention behind it? And obviously, those are the questions that are being asked, and they have to be asked. They should be asked, because everything that has happened leads to that question, no matter how you look at it. And again, as was mentioned, it doesn't matter what the press says. It doesn't matter their attempts to, you know, sugarcoat this. Everyone is seeing the videos. Yep. They're hearing the testimony. Yep. The red-headed guy on BBC who said he saw the guy on the roof. He told the cops about it. What has been seen cannot be unseen. And thank God we have things like Twitter, a.k.a.
Yeah, but I mean, but Dan, again, you know, I'm not a ballistics expert. I'm not a gun person at all. But, I mean, I just can't get my head around. So they're watching a guy on a roof with a gun. He starts shooting, and then they shoot him. Okay, well, you know, I don't think it's a civil rights matter at this point. You know, I mean, you got to take the guy out. The guy's got a gun. He's on a roof. Can you explain to me in any rational universe why that sequence worked that way?
No, I can't.
I can't either.
Because they didn't station anyone on the roof, so they knew it wasn't their guy, right? I mean, they knew he shouldn't be there. And they knew for a matter of, again, it sounds like minutes, certainly.
Yeah, but I mean, it's they're trying to convince us, a guy on a roof with a gun, well, that's not our priority. That's their build. It's somebody else's build. I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, we're going to leave it to the Butler police. The guys who police the fairgrounds. I mean, it's incomprehensible. And of course, what people are saying is they knew long enough of the problem that they shouldn't have even let Trump take the stage.
Well, that's what they want to do. Right. They want to shut him down. All right, gentlemen, we're going to go to a hard break. And after that hard break, we'll continue our discussion on changing narratives. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. To remind you, we're discussing changing narratives. You know, Lionel, one of the things I've come across, it was someone I don't remember because it was I've been watching so many podcasts and whatnot, but the phrase accusations turn into confessions, which is something that is very interesting. I wish I could quote the person that said it. But that's exactly every accusation that we've heard against the enemies of the narrative, the normative narrative, you know, it ends up being itself a confession.
By the way, whenever you don't know the source, just say Saul Alinsky, and people say, oh, yes, very, even though they have no idea who he is. You know, in our particular conspiratorial argo, lie hop and my hop, let it happen on purpose or make it happen on purpose are perfect. And gentlemen, what I want you to understand, and Peter, you and I talk about this all the time, I was 5 years old for Kennedy and didn't see the Zapruder film until 1975. Or so when Geraldo came along. We now have phones. Yeah. I don't need, and immediately by virtue of God bless Elon Musk. I'm a trial lawyer by profession. I've got 1,000 expert witnesses like that. Retired CIA, retired Secret Service, the Ray McGoverns, people who come out of the woodwork, snipers from every conceivable country. Immediately. And meanwhile, some poor schmuck at 7 o'clock on some cable news says, what am I going to do? It's already been done. We know more now than ever. And what's information critical is that information is the currency. It's not really crypto. It's information and data. You can't pull the wool over our eyes anymore. And yet, the heritage legacy media still believe this is the age of Cronkite. This Ted Baxter, they honestly think that by changing some ridiculous narrative that nobody believes, we're already on the next page. Everything has changed. Peter, you and I talk about it all the time. Everything has changed. Up is down, left is right. People that I never even liked before, unquote, social media platforms, now I'm going to. And the people who I thought were pretty good are hacks, are nothing but shills. There's a reversal. And what we are doing right now, gentlemen, it's so revolutionary because we're not in any way impeded by the usual interruptus from people trying to say, don't say that.
I agree with you, Lionel. Let me throw it now back to Ray.
These
people still have power, okay? The Secret Service is still, quote unquote, protecting Donald Trump. They work for the regime. And then they come out with all these different stories or what's true and what's not true. It seems like they're trying to flood the field right now. I think it's trying to confusing people because in my position, hosting this program, I want to be careful in what I say. Okay, I'm not just going to repeat anything I heard. So it makes me very careful. Go ahead, Ray.
Well, you put your finger on it. Who's in charge? Who's running this mess? Who is giving orders to the Secret Service? My God, there are so many anomalies, so many deficiencies, too many accumulated for my taste. Now, Lionel just mentioned the Twitter guy, Musk, okay? He was interviewed yesterday. And somebody said, well, that sounds like it's a conspiracy theory. And Musk says, well, there are a lot of conspiracy theories that come true. Like, for example, Hunter's laptop.
Yep.
About just a little more than less than four years ago, the FBI had that laptop for years, okay? They had that laptop for a whole year, okay? Now, did any of those 51 former intelligence directors check with the FBI before they issued a statement
They always pull the credentials. Oh, but these people have credentials, okay? They're a regime approved, okay? That's what they're trying to do to us all the time. Dan, one of the problems that, if you look at this from 30,000 feet in the air, there's an enormous amount of institutional rot going on. It's just not these people in the media. They get paid well to say what they say. But, the Secret Service falling apart. None of us are young on this program. We all remember the FBI, the series, the TV series. That was something you looked up to. It's something that I'm afraid of now. Dan.
Yeah, no, it seems like, the Secret Service is now turned into the Keystone Cops.
Yep.
But as the Russians say, the head rots from the fish rots from the head, right? And of course, we got the highest, our commander in chief with serious cognitive deficiencies, which again, the media's tried to deny for months and for years. Again, despite what we see and what we hear, they told us, oh, he's fine. He's just old, and you're an ageist. You're an ageist they literally did. If you question his cognitive abilities. But then finally, again, it's now impossible to deny. Now the media is trying to backtrack. And this is what happens all the time. Ray, of course, mentions the weapons of mass destruction. You had the New York Times, Judith Miller at the New York Times, who pushed that line. And of course, it came out she was just repeating CIA talking points. But it took a long time for the New York Times to finally kind of sheepishly say, well, I guess maybe there weren't weapons of mass destruction, a million lives later or whatever. And by the way, Judith Miller, I think, is now working at CNN. I was on some sort of panel.
She made appearances on Fox. I stopped watching Fox when they fired Tucker, but she was on Fox. Now she's on CNN. Great. Okay, great.
Yes. In fact, I was on a panel, and they introduced, here's Pulitzer Prize-winning Judith Miller from CNN. I'm thinking, she did some other things, too. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, right? She has the credentials, as you say, no matter what she did. So, the Washington is a cesspool. The mainstream press is a cesspool. And the people are seeing it. They know it.
Lionel, I don't want to, on this program, to attempt a definitive understanding of the assassination attempt, but... these people are still in power, and Trump is still a candidate, and we have much time ahead. I mean, if he is an existential threat, as so many of his enemies claim, then he's fair game. I mean, by their very definition, Lionel.
Peter, I told you, I'm a trial lawyer, and I go to juries, and I have them sometimes rule on whether a neurosurgeon was mistaken or whether there was a drug interaction. You know, common sense is really the key here. And ordinary people, if you present them the facts, can make a variety of decisions. I got to tell you something as an aside here. You know, it's funny how we live in these memes and the semiotics and imagery. Remember the young girl in Vietnam who was running down the road covered in napalm, and there was the monk who was on fire. It just John saluting his father. In this latest incarnation of the meme, which is completely just removed the political cartoon, is this Melissa McCarthy butterball Secret Service Barbie who was trying to, get this, holster her weapon, who was too short to even protect anybody. And remember, she might have been an ancillary person, but it doesn't matter. Just like that fellow at Tiananmen Square, when we log on to something, and there is something right now which may not make sense to most people, but this is the end of DEI. And DEI was the metastatic version of affirmative action and quotas. And with DEI, a lot of people are saying, well, wait a minute. If DEI is wrong, what about BLM? And what about CRT?
Lionel, Pol Pot practiced a form of it also, okay? It was a different name, but, you know, this is the kind of mentality that we have to face. Ray, we're in uncharted waters right now. Are you worried between now and November?
I am. Who's still in charge, you know? There are two hopeful signs as I see them. One is that, as my good friend Joe Lauria from Consortium News writes, there are hundreds of Zapruder films, yeah, and they're not suppressed for years, okay? That's one thing. The other thing, as Elon Musk says, look, about these conspiracy theories, look at Hunter's laptop there. That was suppressed by X, by Twitter at the time, suppressed by all of these other people. It was suppressed long enough for Joe Biden to win the election, okay? That's not going to happen on my watch, says Elon Musk. So you have those two hopeful signs, but you're right, Peter, to come back to reality and say, who's still in charge? Well, we know how Schumer and Rachel Maddow warned the president 3 weeks before his inaugurating, saying, look, you don't mess around with the intelligence community,
yep,
because they have 6 ways to Sunday to get back at you. Don't be foolish. And Trump was foolish.
Dan, we have 1 minute left. We often talk about the October surprise. Was the October surprise in July, or are we still waiting for October? 1 minute. Go ahead.
I think, yeah, there's a lot of time for more October surprises to come, unfortunately. And what I hope, it doesn't manifest itself in increased conflict in the world, you know, because yep, I'm afraid Democrats may want to expand the war, for example,
yep,
against Russia to try to win.
I agree.
And of course, Democrats have been pushing this hate Russia campaign since 2016. So,
what we see here is we see escalation in foreign policy, and we're seeing escalation in this election cycle. And all of it is tied to violence. And we see it abroad, and unfortunately, we're seeing it. It's reminiscent of the 1960s, unfortunately. Gentlemen, that's all the time we have. I want to thank my guests in Raleigh, Pittsburgh, and in New York. And of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk Rules.